And I want to welcome in a longtime columnist for the AJC and, of course, The Athletic. Jeff Schultz is in this market for a very long time, and now he is retired. I don't even know what that's like, Jeff. I have no idea what it's like to wake up, stretch and yawn and go, oh, I don't have to cover a damn thing today. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, and to be honest with you, Carl, I don't really know what it's like yet either. I mean, it is. It's a very strange thing. I mean, not just, you know, when you're in a career for more than four decades, but when really you've been working since 16 or delivering papers when you're 12 or 13. I mean, all you've really known is you go to school or you work, you have a family and you work. I mean, it just defines you. So I'm keeping busy. I still watch sports. I'm pretty involved with a lot of stuff. My wife jokes I have a dot on my calendar. You know, on your phone when you have your calendar and so it has a dot there when you have something planned for that day and you have to click the day and it shows you what you have. I have a dot every day. Something's wrong with that. I should just be like sleeping late, you know, watching movies, going to bed early, eating chips. I think I'm doing this all wrong.
Yeah, hey, it sounds like it. I mean, obviously, you know what? We're so structured. This is part of it. We're so structured in our daily routines. And to your point, you know, to be a columnist and to write as much as you have over the years, Jeff has done books as well, guys, for those who are not familiar with Jeff's work. And, you know, people would be upset with him as he'd write stuff, whether it be about these Hawks we're down here at State Farm or the Falcons or whatever it's been. And he's had a lot of great inside stories over the years as well. But we're so structured, it's hard to get out of that. I think that mindset. So that's kind of, I feel like, what you're talking about. I do want to ask you, because I know that you've been following everything about the Falcons. They got a big game against Tampa. We've been arguing back and forth about, you know, what Tampa is, what they're not, what they're going to be without their two star wide receivers. But I'm really curious to know what you think about Raheem Morris and the Falcons and what you've seen thus far. Jeff, we've gone through a lot of regimes. You know, we've had these discussions. How do you feel about where this thing is right now?
Well, let me back up for a second first. I'm pretty on record, for as much as on record as a retired guy in Medicare can be. You know, that I would I'll say anything now, the hell with it, get off my lawn. You know, I liked Arthur Smith. I thought he should be given another year, and I thought the problems that occurred, you know, the last couple of years were largely rooted in obviously the quarterback play. And yeah, he played a role in that because he picked the quarterback. I would have liked to see Arthur Smith with his team to see what would happen. On Raheem Morris, you know, like the team is better this year because they're getting better quarterback play. Kirk Cousins has shown flashes. I think he's shown he can still play. He's a few too many turnovers, but he can still play. I think there's still a getting to know everybody period, right? Not just with Cousins and the receivers that are there, but with the offense. You have a new play caller and Zach, who's never done this before. Raheem Morris, I think, you know, he'll be judged on keeping guys engaged and making those big, tough, hard decisions when things go sideways, and also to win and lose games. I don't know that we can judge him yet. I guess it's the way I'm cleverly trying to avoid the question. I think it's too early. Yeah, this is a very winnable division. They're going to play a lot. They played close games. They're going to play a lot more close games. They have the talent to win this division. I realize that's not saying a lot, but they can and I think should win this division. But we'll see how they get through October, November, and December when, as they say, you know, the leaves fall off the trees, and that's when teams either fall or rise. And so we'll see. I have a hard time judging them right now. I don't like the fact that they're last in the league in defense again, or last in sacks, rather. They're probably middle of the road, or maybe bottom two-thirds in defense. And defense is Raheem Morris's, that's in his wheelhouse, right? So we'll see how this plays out.
Jeff, you just mentioned it, last in sacks again, something you've covered pillar to post throughout your long tenured career here in Atlanta when it comes to the Falcons. Do they make a move, in your opinion? Should they make a move, or do you think some of the younger guys that they drafted will eventually spring into real NFL players?
I think everybody looks to make a move. Don't get me wrong. I just think it's really and you do see more moves now than you used to see. I think in particular positions like a wide receiver or running back, where it's easy to sort of plug and play that to some degree. It's a little harder with some linemen. A pass rusher, you can do it, I guess, if you just say just go out there and rush the quarterback and you put him out there on third and long or other passing situations. I just think everybody wants a pass rusher, right? But with the salary cap and trades, it's just really hard to make significant trades during the season. And so I think they'll look around. I just think pretty much so this is what you have, and you're going to have to try to develop what you have. They already made, one or two moves right before the season, right? And yes. Those were late moves by NFL standards and seemingly high-profile moves that haven't really completely panned out yet. And so are you going to get a guy better than what you got already? I'm inclined to think they may or may not make a move, but in the end, you're pretty much going to have to rely on the roster you have. You're going to have to figure out some way to pressure the quarterback because, even in games, you're not going to go out and win games in December or certainly into the postseason 35-30. It's just you can't count on that for sustained success. You have to have a I hate to sound like an old coach. You have to be able to run the ball. You have to be able to stop the other team. They haven't really run the ball with consistency either, which is another issue. I'd like to see a little more balance with their offense. But, they're there, and I think they're blessed to be in the NFC South, basically, where I think they're going to be there all season.
Jeff Schultz joining us, guys, here on Dukes and Bell, longtime columnist here for the AJC and, again, for The Athletic. Jeff, I want to ask you also about the Hawks. Listen. DeJounte Murray, right, gets traded. We all knew that at some point this was probably going to happen and they were going to hold on to Trey, and that's exactly what happened. But right. How much better, in your opinion, does this team look? Now, we've got one game sample size. Tonight we're here. They take on Charlotte. But I'm like, okay, it's Trey with Jalen Johnson, right? Bogey's still here. You've got Clint still here. Is this team going to be better, though, than a play-in team?
I really like people. So I hate to say, the simple answer for me.
You're retired,
would be,
Jeff. Say it. Say it.
No. No. They are not going to be better. I happened to look the other day before the season opened just to see what Vegas was putting their over-under at, and I think it was like 36 or 36.5 wins. That sounds about right to me. So maybe that gets them to play-in status. Maybe it doesn't. I really like Quinn Snyder. I just don't really like this roster, to be honest with you. I'm not an expert enough to judge some of these really young players to see what the ceiling is. I like Jalen Johnson a lot. Don't get me wrong. Clint Capella, is that still somebody you want to count on, the entire season? DeAndre Hunter, we've been down that road before. Bogey with his knees. Trey is Trey. I don't know that he's a different player now. I don't know that he's – I think he still has to prove something in the leadership area. He has to get better. And, I really like DeJounte Murray. And I don't know if we're ever going to really know to what extent they tried to make it work here. With one, did they ever have conversations about trading Trey seriously? I think they had conversations about it. Now, how serious it ever got, I don't know. There's one thing I learned in my career. Sometimes decisions aren't just made about who's going to make us better, but who's going to bring in money. Trey's a revenue. And so you'd be naive to think that didn't factor in somewhere along the line. But, I don't want to doubt Quinn Snyder because, again, I think he's a really good coach. I just don't know if they really have the pieces there to really put this thing together and make a decent run. So can they make the playoffs? Yeah, they can make the playoffs, but I just don't see right now unless they do something else during the season. Did I
Jeff,
have to answer well enough?
Yeah, no. You did a good job.
Good job. Jeff, before we let you go, has Max Fried pitched his last game for the Braves?
Yeah. I was like, if we go back to the last two unrestricted free agents, high-profile guys, I was 50-50 on whether Freeman would be back. Everybody else thought it was 90-10 he'd be back. I always thought it was 50-50. You never let it go that long. Dansby, I always thought, would be gone. Not because they didn't want him back and they didn't like him. They did. But I just thought he was going to get offered way more than certainly what the Braves considered his market value. And that's exactly what happened. In fact, Dansby, as you know, he even was willing to take less from the Braves and the Cubs. And it was still but the less was going to be too much less. So he stayed. Mac, you know, he's an unusual situation because he was coming off major surgery. When he finally got into the majors, this is his first real shot at free agency later in his career than it theoretically should be. He's going to get offered more years and more money than I think Alex Anthopoulos is going to be willing to give him. I understand that at this point. It's unfortunate, but I think it's just the reality. And I think they've got an issue because they're probably going to have to start next year without both Spencer Strider and Acuna, I would think, with their rehabs. You know, and I think this is I mean, I was on record when I actually had a place to write last year that I thought they needed to make a move after the previous season. I don't want to say that the team was bad 2 years ago that got bounced by Philly. I just thought, you know, they had showed that something was wrong or missing. And I think you have to mix things up once in a while. I think when you just come back with largely the same roster, the same core pieces, you're counting on a lot. And notwithstanding all the injuries they had this year, because they had an enormous number of injuries, so did the Dodgers, by the way. But I never really sensed, even before the injuries really took hold, that this was a team that looked like it was putting it together, at least not early. Early in the season, before the injuries really flattened them, I thought something was off a little bit. Maybe they would have turned it around. They would have taken off. I don't know. We'll never know. But now they're in a situation where they're going to have to try to figure out if they do change some pieces, trading some guys with less market value than they might have had a year ago because they're coming off lesser years or injuries, right? So it'll be interesting to see what Alex does. That's a long answer to your Max Fried question. No, I don't see him coming back.
One real quick follow-up, Jeff. I thought it was interesting that you said Alex Anthopoulos making the decision. From your understanding, does he have full autonomy in terms of what he's allowed to spend?
Well, I think every year there's a budget. Look, I don't want to relitigate the whole Freddie Freeman thing, but in very, very short notes, I mean, Freddie had the great year in 2020. He won MVP. The Braves were thinking of re-signing him to an extension because he was going to be going on to the last year of his contract. And Liberty Media tapped the brakes and said, we're not doing any contracts now because we want to wait to see how many fans come back after COVID. That's out there. Nobody should doubt that. Nobody should blame Freeman or his ex-agent or anybody for that. That was totally on Liberty Media for how they handled that. They went through the 21 season. They won the World Series. Now the equation has changed a little bit. And obviously getting Freddie Freeman to sign now is going to be a little more difficult. Obviously he's going to test the market. And again, I don't want to relitigate what happened, what didn't happen, but that was an instance where Liberty Media said, we're not spending money right now, so we want to see how many fans come back after COVID. We could certainly debate why a multi-billion-dollar corporation would make that decision, but they made that decision. I don't think money is going to preclude Alex from doing something. I mean, their payroll, I'm sure they're top 10. Are they not now?
I believe they're top five. Yeah,
top five.
With the escalating contracts. Yeah.
Right. I think it's going to be an issue of, though, you're going to have to trade. I don't know how much you'd be able to take on. So, but you're going to have to. He assigned so many guys to long-term contracts. There's an upside and a downside to that. The downside is now you're going to have to find someone to take that contract. And maybe somebody would, I don't know. But that's the downside to signing some guys long-term if you don't keep them long-term. And I think that's the one thing he's going to have to navigate this offseason. You know, he's a really good GM. I don't want to cast any aspersions on him. I mean, he's one of the best GMs in the league. But that's an issue he's going to have now as he looks to, I don't want to use rebuild, but, you know, change the look of this team a little bit.
I totally agree. Jeff, we got to run. We will talk dogs with you next time we grab you on. So glad you're doing well and enjoying the time, man. And it's good to hear your voice on the radio. Appreciate you.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
That's Jeff Schultz, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at State Farm Arena. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We'll come back. We have Yeah Man, No Man with Oren coming up next.